Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what we want to preach here today, destroying the works of the devil. Destroying the works of the devil. God did not call us just to gather together once or twice or three times a week to worship together and enjoy the presence of God. And I'm thankful for all of that, but God called us for something greater. There's a battle going on in our world, and there's a battle going on in our city, and there's a battle in the spirit that God has called every one of us. He's enlisted every one of us to be a part of this battle. And I believe the purpose of this church, and I believe the purpose of every person in this church, is to literally be used of the Spirit of God to destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. We're calling you. We're enlisting you. We're drafting you into the army of God today. We've got a purpose. We've got a calling. And I believe God's going to help us today. Would you just thank the Lord for that? Lord, by faith, we're going to stand upon your word. We want to see the works of the devil destroyed. Lord, we want to live in victory. We want to be overcomers. We want to be more than conquerors, Lord, through you and through your power and through your spirit. I pray that you bless us and help us, Lord. I pray that you would move through us. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us here today. We give you all the praise and the glory, for without you we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 tells us, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. One translation says it like this: whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Why is that? Because toxic people tend to pull others down around them as well. Toxic people tend to suck all of the energy and the life out of others. Think about it with me today. Those who gossip and tear others down, they don't lift you up. But just stay around them long enough and you'll find yourself down on their level. Those who are self-destructive, those who refuse to take responsibility for their bad choices, their drama will eventually be your drama if you're not careful. People always criticizing others, and just wait, because they're going to criticize you too. Those who are selfish, promising everything for others but always taking more than they give, toxic fools. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. There's something about toxic people. They always tend to pull those around them down lower. Professors at the Harvard Business School once calculated the cost of hiring a toxic employee versus the value of hiring a superstar. In that study, they found that adding one toxic person to the team actually cost them twice as much financially as hiring just one A-list player to the team, because of the negative effect that toxic person will have on everyone around them. There's another toxic relationship that I want to bring our attention to here today. It is with the enemy of our soul. And I tell you, he may promise you the world. He may come as a very angel of light. He comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But know this, any relationship with him will leave you off worse than you were before. He's toxic, and all the things that are a toxic, they affect things around them. Regardless of what the enemy has promised you, and regardless of what kind of mind game he's thrown at you, it doesn't matter how beautiful a picture he has created. Know this today, he's only wanting to pull you down with him. The devil has no good in store for you. As Jesus declared, he's only come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I pray today that our eyes will be opened, that we would not be deceived, that we'd not be pulled down by his evil schemes, to join him in his ultimate defeat, to suffer the same fate of what's in store for the devil, because he is defeated. He is defeated. Let me remind us here today, Calvary really did happen. And Jesus Christ, God manifested in flesh, came to this earth to save us, to make a way of escape from sin for us. Oh, he died, but he rose again. There was a victory. It was not a defeat. It was a victory. It was the greatest victory that had ever been won, defeating the schemes of Satan. And each one of us here today, we now have the privilege to be able to share in that victory. Satan is defeated. He is an imposter. He is a cheat. He is a swindler. He's an intruder. He likes to act all big and bad, but he has no more authority than what we allow him to have in our lives. Come on, somebody needs to realize this deception of the defeated devil. He wants you to believe that he has the power to defeat you, but he's the one who has been defeated. He has no more authority than what we allow him to have. Don't give him power in your life. Realize the devil is defeated, and we serve the one who is victorious. We serve the one who has all power. We serve the one who is victorious. Hallelujah. And when you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have that same power inside of you, and you've been given power. You've been given ability. Jesus has already defeated the devil. He's not big and bad. Do not give him more power than he has. If we can realize this fact today, we have no cause to be afraid. But we can go forth in boldness. Now, the devil will accuse. He'll threaten. He'll seek to strike fear in our hearts, but the devil's already been defeated. The prince of darkness is without a throne. He's defeated. He knows he is defeated. The question is, do we know it? And the question is, do we live like we know it? Or do we give in to his web of deception, thinking he has power in our life, believing that we can't overcome his temptations, convinced that we can't come out from this world and live separate and holy and consecrated to God? The devil is defeated. He knows he is defeated, but we have to know it as well. You see, it's like those toxic people. They do their best to pull down everybody close to them. Someone once said, remember, whoever is trying to bring you down is already below you. The devil hates the people of God. The devil hates what's going on around here today. The devil hates that kind of worship. The devil hates that kind of consecration. The devil hates that kind of dedication. He hates the people of God. Oh, people who love what he gave up. People who can't get enough of what he left behind. Oh, what a wonderful and glorious experience he once had in charge of heaven's worship team. The Word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
Some Bible scholars believe that this was directed more than just to the king of Tyre, as mentioned in this chapter, but it was directed perhaps to Lucifer, the son of the morning. Could it have been that he was created physically created especially to bring worship to God, and that there were precious stones covering him, and there was pipes made within him to bring music and worship to God, and the glory of God would shine so brightly, and those precious stones would reflect the glory of God, and a sound of music would come forth. What a glorious experience he once had. But Ezekiel 28:17 tells us, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. It went to his head. Satan's heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And God said, I will cast thee down. Isaiah wrote in chapter 14, verse 11, he said, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, vials meaning a harp or a musical instrument, the noise of thy vials is brought down. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If you'll notice the context of this verse, Jesus had sent 70 disciples out to do his work, and they came back. They were rejoicing. They were on fire. They were excited about the work of God, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why does the devil hate you and I so much? Why does he hate your worship? Why can he not stand you giving glory to God? Because that used to be his position. He was over the choirs of heaven. His instruments filled the throne room with beautiful music. He literally reflected the glory of God. But somewhere along the way, he got confused. And he wanted it to be his glory and not God's glory. And so he made his move. He left it all behind, and he fell like lightning. And he's brought down to the depths of hell, and God has now given us, God has given you, God has given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I tell you today, the devil can't stand it, that what he used to be, now God has taken that from him, and he's given it to you, and he's given it to me. And now that kind of power, it rests in our heart. And now that kind of glory fills this kind of place. And now that worship comes from us. And now we have power over him and his demons through Jesus Christ. He can't stand it. It drives him crazy. He is defeated, and Jesus Christ won the victory. And we share today in that victory. But still, Satan tries to drag us down. He does his best to take everyone to hell that he can. His toxic influence has permeated the world, and he knows his time is short. And so he's desperately doing everything he can to pull as many down that he can. That's why it's sometimes a struggle to come to church. That's why it can be hard to pray. That's why there are times that it's difficult to worship. That's why we face temptation, because the enemy knows the great victory that we can have through Jesus Christ. And when we serve the Lord, when we serve his kingdom, it reminds the devil of everything he left behind. And when we pray and seek the face of God, it shows we're devoted and submitted to the one he betrayed. And when we worship, When we worship, it reminds him of what he used to do. And he can't stand the fact that we would never worship Satan, but we would only worship God. I tell you, that ought to make you worship all the more. Because every time you worship, you're reminding him of what he left behind. You're reminding him that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And I'll never... Come on, he deserves our worship and our praise, but it's also a little blessing that every time you worship, you're driving the devil mad. Why do we face temptation? Why do we have to fight battles spiritually? Why is it sometimes a struggle? Because Satan is desperate. He knows his time is short. He's doing his best to pull all that he can down to hell with him. But God didn't create us to live in defeat. God did not create us to live under satanic bondage. The only power that Satan has in our lives is the power we let him have, because he is defeated. Come on, somebody needs to realize that today. Somebody needs to get this today. You're struggling against some things. You're battling against some things spiritually. And it seems like the enemy is so big. But you've got to realize today, he is defeated. He is defeated. Come on, that needs to make you fed up. That needs to make you mad today. You need to get fed up with what you've been putting up with. You need to get sick and tired of all the devil's been doing to try to pull your family down and trying to put you through, acting like he's got some kind of power over your life. You need to lift up the name of Jesus. You need to lift up the victorious banner of Jesus Christ and proclaim Jesus has all power. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shut him on the river. The devil is cast out. Jesus did it every single time. Not once did the devil prevail. At Gadara, Jesus said to the man who lived in a graveyard, who broke every chain they tried to ever put on him. Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 5, verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." The devil was there in strength. This was the best he had. Don't you know the devil saw Jesus coming across the sea? And don't you know he called for all the backup he could get? In all of hell's strength, oh, the devils were no match. Even then, a legion of devils wasn't strong enough to resist the creator of the universe. And the unclean spirits went out of the man. And they had to ask Jesus for permission where to go. And Jesus said, go into that herd of pigs. The pigs couldn't even stand it. And they ran off a cliff and drowned themselves in the sea because Jesus Christ had all power. Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene had seven devils. That's a lot of devils in one person. But they met their master in the one who came to destroy the works of the devil. And Mary Magdalene, whatever she was before, it was now that she is numbered among the devoted and faithful to God. It was Mary Magdalene who was there at the cross after everybody else had fled. It was Mary Magdalene who was first to the grave and was first to see Jesus after the resurrection. Oh, it was Mary who knew who had all power. She experienced it firsthand. Seven demons were no match for the master. Jesus delivered her. It's recorded in Luke 4:41, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." Every time the demons came out, every time Jesus cast them out. I remember a few years ago preaching in a church in Texas. And there was a visitor there, and she was related, I think, perhaps to someone in the church. And many of you have seen this happen before, but there was a group of people praying around her, and I just happened by. I was an evangelist preaching there that day, and went by and prayed for her, and all of a sudden, something happened. There was a reaction that happened inside of her. Every single time you start praying the name of Jesus, something happens. And people that are bound in their spirit, and people that are suffering from demonic oppression or perhaps possession. All of a sudden, there was a shakeup inside of her, and that stuff started coming out of her mouth. I'm talking crazy stuff, folks, but it's real because it recognizes the name of Jesus. It recognizes the blood of Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you something. It doesn't mean that we need to walk around all crazy thinking we're big and bad, but you, on the other hand, need to realize there is a power in you that's greater than any power in this world. And we don't need to walk around in fear of what the devil's going to do. We need to walk around in faith, believing that God's going to bring us through. Hallelujah. Come on. He didn't just stop doing in the Bible days, but he's still working today. Come on. How many of you know that God delivered you? How many of you know God brought you out? He sets you free. Come on, he delivered you from the power of sin. He delivered you from alcohol. He delivered you from drugs. He delivered you from witchcraft, from hatred, from jealousy, from lust. Jesus Christ is still doing it today. That's why he came. That's why he was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I tell you today, if you're here today and you need deliverance, you're tired, you're sick and tired of being bound, you're tired of alcohol, you're tired of drugs, you're tired of sin, you're tired of being affected by evil spirits when you're trying to sleep, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has all power. Jesus Christ is able to do it. Every single time he commanded a spirit to leave, they had to leave. They could not stay. If you will call on his name here today, Jesus will meet you in this place. Jesus declared in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. When you're in that depth, when you're in that pit, if you're bound, if you'll begin to lift up Jesus, if you'll begin to call on that name, if you'll begin to magnify that name, there will be something happen in that place. That place will be changed. It may be a bedroom and you're there alone at night and can't sleep because of the things coming against your mind and the things attacking your heart. But if you'll call on the name of Jesus, it will transform that place into a heavenly place, and the Spirit of God will begin to work in you. Come on, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so some might wonder, why then is the devil so powerful? If he's defeated, then why is he so active? Here's the answer. If someone doesn't take the medicine, they'll suffer the sickness. There can be a cure for the disease, but if someone doesn't take the medicine until they're vaccinated, until they take the remedy, that disease still has power. Victories in medical science make it possible to destroy the disease before it can ever do damage. And we have to live in that same victory. The victory that Jesus Christ won over sin and over Satan. If we will take the medicine, if we're born again of the water as we're baptized in Jesus' name, and born again of the Spirit as his Spirit fills our life through receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, then we can be free of the devil's power. Only if we take the medicine will we be free from the power of the disease. The devil's not a myth. He's real. He's still the prince of the power of the air. He's still the prince of this world system. And if you look around, he's doing a pretty good job of that, because this world system recognizes him. It follows his leading. Just look around at the greed and the selfishness and the pride and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. That's this system, this world system following the prince of this world. But that system can't overcome Jesus Christ. That system has no power against the blood of Jesus, because he has overcome the world. We're in the world. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. We've been transformed. We're a new creature. We've been saved by the power of Jesus Christ. Don't try to negotiate with the devil. The power that he has is only the power that we would give him. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place in your house. Don't give him a place in your life. Don't give him a place to stand in your heart. Don't give him a place of power in your family. Don't listen to his voice. Don't let him convince you that he has power over you. Jesus Christ defeated him on our behalf at Calvary. He has no power over us, but we belong to Jesus. I want to tell you today, we will suffer attacks from spiritual wickedness. Sin does gonna it is gonna tempt us. We may be attacked by fear, by doubt, by depression, by insecurity. But Paul wrote in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He went on to say in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, I want to tell you, Satan's attack will come. Temptation will come. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we have victory today through Jesus Christ. Don't let Satan put on you what Jesus has already paid the price to set you free from. When he tempts you, you stand on the word of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. When he comes with doubt and fear and anxiety, you don't let him put that on you. Come on, you go ahead and quote 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This fear that the enemy's trying to put on me, I don't have to take that. I don't have to receive that. That's not from God. God doesn't mean for you to be fearful and afraid. That spirit is of the devil, and Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Don't let Satan resurrect something that Jesus has already defeated. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God's got your back. Yeah, we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We don't need to just joke around about this. We got to be on our guard. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He invites himself into our lives. He's sly. He knows how to whisper thoughts into our mind. All he needs is a little foothold. If you give him a little foothold, he'll get in and he'll take over. So we've got to put up a fight. We've got to remember, he's already been defeated, and now he's just desperate. Have you ever been caught off guard? I know this is different today, but I feel like God wants to minister a couple situations. Have you ever been caught off guard by an evil spirit or an evil thought that came into your mind, and you wonder, where did that come from? I must be backslid. Goodness. And you think, well, I've been living right. I've been faithful to God. That's not how I think. And Satan loves then to come and condemn us for having the thought that he interjected into our mind in the first place. I want to tell you, he may be able to put some thoughts into our mind, but we don't have to accept them. Those are not our thoughts. We don't have to receive them. We take them into captivity and we cast them down. We have to learn to discern the devil. We've got to learn to recognize his tactics. If not, he'll run us ragged because he's unmerciful. He doesn't fight fair. He beat Samson. He tripped up David. He robbed Moses. Look how he brought Peter to the edge of disaster. No wonder the word warns us to watch. 1 Corinthians 6:13 tells us, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. In other words, be brave like a man. Be strong. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. This is no time to quit watching. This is no time to let down our guard. I know the world says we're too careful. I know the world says we're too old-fashioned. I know people say we're too conservative, we're too strict, we're too religious. I want to tell you the temptation is there to let down our guard. To let things in that we would have never let in before. To relax our standards, to ease our convictions, to find a place of compromise. But that's just what the devil's waiting for. This is the time more than ever to watch. This is the time more than ever to keep our guard up. This is the time more than ever to watch out, to be sober, to be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't let down on your standards. Don't compromise with the world. Don't let things in that you would have never let in before. I tell you, this is the time more than ever because he's desperate. And he's looking who he may devour. He's trying to find some family he can find a foothold in. Satan is defeated. Not yet eliminated, but he is defeated. And Jesus Christ has won the victory. That's our peace of mind. That's our encouragement. Yes, Satan tries to worry us. He tries to make us fear. He tries to, if we'll give him a foothold, but we have to rest in the Word of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I feel like somebody needs to get this here today. We can't listen to Satan and to God at the same time. We're either going to listen to Satan or we're going to listen to God. We're either going to listen to the toxic language of the enemy of our soul, or we're going to listen to the promises of the King of Kings. Somebody here today needs to hang up on the devil. He's been speaking into your life. He's been speaking fear. He's been speaking doubt. He's been speaking unbelief. He's been telling you lies. He's got you tormented. He's got you discouraged. He has you bound. But I've come to tell you, you don't have to be bound anymore. Come on, somebody needs to say in your spirit today, devil, I'm not listening anymore. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up on you. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to listen to your lies, but I'm going to listen to Jesus. How many of you remember those old phones that, it really wasn't all that old, but those old phones, they had a long cord. You had one in the kitchen, and you could walk around the kitchen and do whatever while you're still talking. Anybody remember those? And have that long cord to get all tangled up, and you have to stretch it out. And when you got mad at somebody, now I don't think I've ever done this, but maybe some of you have. When you got mad at somebody, you got that phone, and you went, maybe not. You can't really do that with an iPhone. I guess you can throw it down or something. Somebody needs to get your spiritual phone out and say, devil, I'm not listening to your lies anymore. Come on, some of you have been tormented. Some of you have been, you're so in fear because of everything the enemy's thrown against you and unbelief and doubt. He's got you discouraged. He's got you bound. But you need to hang up on that spirit today. He has no power. If you hang up the phone, you don't have to listen to his lies anymore. You need to go into your contacts and you just say, okay, devil, here's your number right there. I'm going to block it. I'm not going to listen to doubt and fear and unbelief anymore. God's not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm only going to listen to faith. And I'm going to only declare the word of God. If it doesn't line up with God's word, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to trust in Jesus. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Somebody needs to run to the name of the Lord. Somebody needs to run to Jesus. Somebody needs to leave everything else and run to the name of the Lord. That's going to get us through. That's our strength. That's our victory. Our victory is in Jesus. There's a clear formula to victory. There's a clear formula for victory over the devil in James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I tell you, this formula works every time. First of all, we've got to be submitted to God. Some people say, well, I'm just going to resist the devil, and it didn't work. Well, we've got to, first of all, be submitted to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? We submit ourselves in prayer. We submit ourselves in faithfulness. We submit in obedience to His word. Hey, when you're desperate for God's help, you don't care what He asks you to do. Lord, just tell me whatever I got to do to be saved. When we're submitted to God, then we can resist the devil. And he will flee. We will never have the victory that Jesus won for us unless we submit ourselves to God. And then we do resist. Friends call you that are a bad influence, toxic friends. Oh, yeah, come on over. I'll just try to be strong. No, you got to resist. Friends call you that are bad influence. I'm sorry, I'm busy. You can come to church with me. You got to resist. We can't just put up with sin. We can't just allow the devil's influences. We have to show some spiritual muscle. Come on, act like the child of God you are. We act on the word of God. We stand on his promises. We submit to God. We resist the devil and he will flee from you. Would you stand with me today? Through the power of Jesus Christ, we don't have to join in the devil's defeat. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's safety in Jesus. There's deliverance in Jesus. We don't have to join in his destruction. Did you know God didn't create hell for humanity? Matthew 25, 41 reads, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't create hell for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. So why go somewhere that God doesn't plan for you to go? It's not God's will for us to go to hell. It's not God's will for us to be lost. Satan is doing his best to take us, but he's already been defeated. The only power he has left is the power that we let him have in our minds, in our lives. I tell you today, there's no reason to go to hell. Somebody needs to take a stand today. Don't you let Satan entice you to go with him. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He paid the price in blood. If we'll stay at the foot of the cross, the devil can't win. Someone said, he can't win on that blood-soaked hill. He can't fight you when you're committed and submitted to God. If we try to fight on the devil's territory, he'll win every time. But if you'll stay close to the cross, if you'll claim your victory through Jesus Christ, it belongs to us. Jesus won it for us. Don't trade victory for a lie of the enemy. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus already paid the price. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise and cause you to lose out on your victory. In closing today, Jesus paid the price. He won the victory. He does not intend for us to live bound. But we have to put this to work in our own lives. That's how the works of the devil are destroyed. Jesus already won the victory, but now it's up to us. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to me. Now it's up to our family. Now it's up to our prayer life. Now it's up to our worship. Satan is defeated, but he's not eliminated just yet. And he's in a desperate struggle, trying to take anybody he can down with him. You do not need to let him infect you with his toxic influence. Do not accept it. Do not give place to it. This can attack everybody from the oldest saint in the house to the brand new Christian. The brand new Christian comes to the Lord and they're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and they're baptized in Jesus' name and God starts working in their life. And all of a sudden the devil comes out of nowhere and attacks them. Usually catches them by surprise. They've never fought this kind of battle, Brother Swearingham. They've never had this kind of resistance. They thought when you came to the Lord, everything was going to be easy and everything was going to be a bed of roses. And now they're fighting spiritual battles. That's because it stirred something up. And the enemy realized he was about to lose another one from his kingdom of darkness. And then there's some old saints of God. Sometimes we've been living for God for so long and we just kind of been on cruise control. And then out of nowhere, we'll hit something and there's resistance there and there's some kind of battle in the spirit there. And we wonder, where did that come from? I've lived for God for years and why am I struggling and why am I going through this? I want to tell you something. It's because the devil's desperate. It's because the devil's desperate, and he doesn't care how long we've been in the church. He wants to steal your soul. But today, you don't have to give in. And there's some people in Springfield that are depending on you. There's some people in Greene County that are depending on me. There's some people in Christian County and in this surrounding area. They're in bondage. They're enslaved to sin. But there is a remedy. There is a medicine. There is a freedom and a victory for them. We've got to realize who we are in Jesus Christ. I feel like today, somebody here, you need to apply this. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. If you've got drugs in your house, don't give place to the devil. If you got a pipe hidden somewhere, don't give place to the devil. If you've got pornography on your phone, if you've got pornography on your computer, don't give place to the devil. Come on. If you've got hatred in your heart, don't give place to the devil. If you've got hatred in your heart, you need to spend so much time in prayer that it drives that hatred out. Come on, if you've got sin in your heart, don't give place to the devil. You do whatever you have to do to get it out. You do whatever you have to do to live covered by the blood of Jesus. If you don't need to have a phone because you can't overcome the temptation, then that's fine. It's better that you're saved than you be connected with the latest iPhone. This was not in my notes, but I want to tell you, if it's a sin to you, then you don't need to be on Instagram. If you can't handle Instagram, if you can't handle Facebook, not because of pornography, but maybe you can't handle Facebook because of gossip. It's not worth being on Facebook if you're going to lose your soul. I want to tell you today, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Somebody needs to get fed up with what the enemy's trying to do to destroy your soul. And you need to commit your life to God and say, I don't care what it costs. I've got to be saved. I don't care what I have to give up. I've got to live holy. I've got to live righteous. I've got to watch because the enemy wants to destroy my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I wonder if we could just worship around this altar today and give glory to God. Jesus Christ has won victory. Jesus Christ has made a way of escape from sin. We don't have to live bound. We don't have to live a slave to sin, but we can defeat the works of the devil in Jesus' name. Come on, would you commit your heart to the Lord? Would you commit your life to the Lord right now?
Come on, would you get some things out of your heart? Would you get some things out of your life? I'm not going to give place to the devil. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to give in to doubt. I'm not going to give in to unbelief. I'm not going to listen to gossip anymore. But I'm going to trust you, oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more thing. We're going to pray and we're going to worship in just a moment. But I want to pray a prayer. And I wonder if you'd be open to us all praying this prayer. Lord, if there's a place the enemy has a foothold into my life, I pray that you'd reveal it to me right now. If there's something I'm allowing into my home, if there's something I'm allowing into my family, if there's something that I'm putting into my mind and it's given the enemy any kind of foothold in my family or in my life, I pray that you'd reveal it right now. Come on, would you pray that? Lord, God, we stand upon your word today. We're submitting ourselves to you. We're going to resist the devil, and we believe the word of God that he is going to flee. But God, you see, if there's any area that the enemy has a foothold into our life, is there any area, God, that he has a foothold to come and to attack our family, then God, I pray that you would reveal it to us right now. I pray that you would put it upon our heart. I pray that you would put it upon our mind. In Jesus' name, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself, because God's about to do miracles. God's about to do wondrous works. God's about to do signs and wonders. Lord, forgive me. I put it on the altar today. Lord, I cry out to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, this is your chance. This is your chance to get free. This is your chance to lay some things on the altar. This is your chance to get free from fear. This is your chance to overcome the temptation of the enemy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The price has already been paid. The victory's already been won. But we have to destroy the works of the devil in our life today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you can feel the heartbeat of this pastor. I want to tell you, it breaks my heart when I see our young men coming to service, and I can tell they're so beaten down by the world. You've been so beaten down by the effects of sin and the effects of this world's temptation and attack against your life. And I could see it. That breaks my heart, because that's not God's will for you. And the enemy's got you defeated, but that's not God's will. It breaks my heart to see people come into the house of God and they're just barely struggling, barely able to make it, because they've been suffering from temptation and everything going on in the week. I tell you, this shouldn't be just a place we struggle to get to. We ought to have victory all week long. It's not God's will that you live in defeat. It's not God's will that you live bound in your mind. But there's victory. There's victory. I hope you have a song about lifting up Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's lift up the name of the Lord. And I believe God's going to bless. I believe God's going to heal. I believe God's going to deliver in Jesus.